I think I'm having a moment. Another moment to relapse, so serotonin. But I see it from your side. I can't count it on my fingers. All the times you let me down. Say your peace and let it linger. Let the words dry.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, and I'm joined once again by co-host Jeff in person.
Yes, back in the House of Draft after many months away recovering. I'm back at 100%, and it's time to make Mark watch a movie he would never watch otherwise.
You made me watch two movies today that I would never
would have seen. I did not make you watch the first one. I recommended it, but my thing is that this is our Halloween episode.
This is.
And what better way to celebrate than a double feature, creature feature.
A double creature feature. A double whammy, if you will.
Yes. But before we get to that.
Before we get into what we watched this week, we have to plug some music. And here in the month of October, we've enjoyed the Chicago, Illinois pop punk band Fluorescence with their track Roll the Dice. I remembered it this year.
From his memory, yep. You can see
I had
on
a card,
camera if you're looking.
I had a card. I was ready.
Yep.
But off the dome, I picked the right song. Anyways, we appreciate them allowing us to use their music here on the podcast for the month. Be sure to hit the show notes where you can find all the links to their social media accounts. They're doing big things. Give them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. And once again, we appreciate them. Jeff.
Yes.
What did we just watch?
Well, my friends, my dear, sweet friends, we watched Critters 2. But that's the film I picked. That's our official movie this week. But I did ask Mark if he wanted to, he could go watch Critters 1 to prepare for Critters 2. As some of the characters cross over, and it does kind of, a little more than I thought. I kind of downplayed it a bit,
yeah.
But there's a good bit of backstory that you might want to have going into Critters 2.
It's almost a direct continuation, but 2 years in the future.
Yeah. I want to say this is 1988 is what I said before. And for me, I'll start as far as history with Critters. I grew up on Critters. I loved Critters. Now, growing up, when I became an adult, I'm like, I'm going to watch Critters, man. I loved that as a kid. And I put it on and I was like, this isn't the one I remember. This isn't the one I've seen a dozen times.
I'm talking about the first one.
Right. Okay. I'm like, am I missing something? I remember this guy trying to sell eggs for beer and getting a Playboy in return. And then I watched the second one as an adult. I'm like, this is it. This is Critters. And this is why I picked Critters 2, because it's my favorite Critters film. 3 and 4, you can completely skip unless you're like a completionist. But they just get worse from here. To me, this is the pinnacle of Critters. This is what Critters is. And I love it.
The pinnacle of Critters.
Well, what I mean is like, you know, you watch. So I compare it. It's not a perfect comparison, but like Evil Dead, like the first movie was really serious in an attempt to be scary. And the second one was kind of comedic and scary. And then they drop Army of Darkness on us, which is a full fun comedy.
Yeah.
And to me, Critters 2 is that culmination. That's what, if I'm going to tell people what Critters is, the first one's fine. Like it's just a creature feature, a campy little creature feature. But then 2 comes around and says, we got to go bigger, we got to go badder, and we could have a lot more fun with it. And I think that makes for a better movie. And what I think Critters, on paper anyway, is a parody of Gremlins. And so you should naturally be silly and goofy and have fun with it. It's basically R-rated Gremlins. Although I'm not sure if this was rated R.
It's got to be. It's got titties in it.
No, that's not an immediate R, I don't think. But
I mean, like,
we're on our phones recording videos, so neither of us are savvy enough to look it up
while still recording.
I think I just stopped my video. Well, 3, 2, 1. that'll help you in the edit. I'll disappear for a second, but the audio was there.
Are you back recording?
I'm recording now. But
God, you make life so difficult.
I don't mean to. But I didn't. I wanted to look up the rating, and I can't because.
But you tried anyway. I knew you knew that you couldn't do it, and
I didn't know I couldn't do it. That's why I tried. Now I know, and I'll forget in 4 weeks when we record again. Right. But
I gotta get a camera. I gotta invest some.
I have a laptop I could have brought. I have a tablet I could have brought.
No, but I'm talking about like a what did the fancy podcast use? To record it's not a GoPro, but it's a little bit bigger than a GoPro, but it's got motion tracking.
I don't know why you would spend money on that. Beautiful.
Because we're very serious here. We're a serious podcast.
The caliber of video you get off your phone,
it's fantastic. I'm just saying, like, if we wanted a more professional setup, that allowed us to utilize our phones.
We watched Critters 2 with no intention of watching the prequel to tell anyone about it. So let's start with Critters 1. Now, I've gone over my crittering, and I've got a feeling you've never watched Critters before.
No.
Have you heard of Critters?
I had heard of Critters. I always assumed in like, you know, so I was born in the 80s, middle of the 80s. You were born in...
80.
In the 1980. But at the same time, like every time I saw Critters mentioned or I saw like the artwork for the cover of or the poster, whatever, it just looked silly to me. All right. And so I was like, I don't need to watch that. It's something. And honestly, I never heard of the films being in the kind of the pantheon of classic 80s films.
Yeah. For me, I feel like that though. Mm-hmm. Like when I think of horror movies, like I think of Chucky and Critters kind of in the same breath. I love both of them, but I know that that's probably not the case with most people who like horror. Critters is just kind of this weird anomaly maybe, but it was either on TV a lot when I was a kid or me and my brother rented it, but it made an impression on me when I was younger, and I've always had an affinity for Critters, specifically Critters 2, that's never gone away.
Now, how old were you when you saw?
So if it came out in 88, I would have been 8-ish, and I probably didn't see it then, so I would probably guess I was probably 12, like I was going out renting things.
And like as a 12-year-old in that time? I think this would have been a fantastic film.
Yeah.
You know, as a 12-year-old, you're like, oh, man, these things are cool. There's funny.
Big guns, bounty hunters, explosions.
Titties.
It's funny. There's a little boobs. We got the boob counter out.
They're not little. They weren't little boobs.
There's a bit of big boobs. I think just it has so much fun with the critters, and they're stupid. And they like in the first film you mentioned, probably the thing that sticks out the most to you is they say something in critter language and then the subtitles say fuck.
Right.
And they do something similar in this movie where he says bitchin'.
Yeah.
When he gets male pattern baldness by a gun.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that line.
He looks at himself and he's like,
bitchin'.
Yeah.
He doesn't go, yeah. He goes, fuck yeah, an improvement. That's the kind of movie this is. Like he gets shot. He gets male pattern baldness because the gun has blown the hair off the top of his head. I don't know if you've ever seen The Great Outdoors, which is a great film, but something similar happens to a bear. But he looks in the mirror and he's like, fuck yeah. He's not even upset about it, which is hilarious to me.
He doesn't live long enough to enjoy it.
Now, I do have to admit, as a Gremlins fan, this movie doesn't exist if the Gremlins don't.
Sure.
The whole scene in the sequel at the Hungry Heifer, which is my favorite. The Hungry Heifer, I forgot until I watched this movie again as an adult how much I love the Hungry Heifer and how much it was in the back of my brain.
Right.
The Hungry Heifer.
You talking about the song or just the atmosphere?
The words Hungry Heifer being a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
The song I didn't remember till it came. And then I was like, the Hungry Heifer, we don't give you no steer. and being like, oh my gosh, like it just hits that nostalgia bubble for me. Of course, now I've seen it a lot more recently because I realized.
And it's at one point in the song, the Hungry Heifer song, it's like, we're gonna suck the flavor right off the tip of your fingers.
Yeah.
And, and I'm like, this fucking 80s movie, man.
It's so, if you haven't seen it, and if Mark's feeling adventurous, I've already fucked up the edit enough, so you'd by no means have to do this, but including the Hungry Heifer song would be a benefit to the listener. But if you don't, you could probably throw it in YouTube, the Hungry Heifer song from Critters 2, and it's fun. It's just like the movie knows it's silly and stupid, and so after the dramatic conclusion, the credits roll and Hungry Heifer's theme song starts playing, and it makes me happy.
Well, so I'd never seen this, and I never would have watched it had it not been for this
for me.
Yeah. So thank you for expanding my
You're welcome.
Horizons. However, when I was watching Critters 1, the first Critters this morning, because you brought it up.
I said, hey, it's on HBO Max. It's not like you have to pay to get it.
Right.
If you want to, you can. Otherwise, I'll give you a synopsis.
Right. But I mean, it's an hour, 20 something minutes. And so I watched it on the couch while me and my wife are watching TV, and I'm watching on my phone. But it is an 80s horror film, or it tries to be, right? It tries to be an 80s horror film with a little, like, these weird creatures with a little bit of camp thrown in. And I think that's what really threw me off about it, was it was like, oh, it's trying real hard to be this kind of serious horror film, because it takes place on a farm in one central location, and it's about a family, and they're trying to survive these creatures attacking. And so with this one, and it's directed by the guy who did the Mighty Ducks. I looked at his filmography.
Who off the top of their head right. knows the director
I don't,
of the Mighty
I don't,
Ducks?
But he's got a pretty eclectic filmography, and it's a lot of stuff. But it's a lot of stuff you've seen.
Yeah.
His name doesn't. You know, he's not
he's
a household
a studio director. He's right. like, hey, put Tim on there.
Right, right, right.
Tim won't fuck it up.
Right. And I think having somebody like this guy who has directed a lot of like Critters 2, or Critters and Critters 2 were some of the first films he did. But then he went on to have like a fantastic career as a director. So, long story short, it doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you finish.
That's a hell of a start, though, man. Critters is the shit.
But so, you know, Critters 2, completely whitewashed, by the way. Did you notice that? Other than the bus driver, which was kind of its own racist thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Only one black actor in this movie, and he's a bus driver. But I noticed that at the end. It's because they have a black guy walk across the screen when they're panning out from the city, and it has thanks Grover, whatever.
Right. So this is filmed in Grover's Bend, which apparently is a real place. Which I think, not to be cliche, but and the thing that this movie does that I like more than the first one, like you said, the first one's on a farm, so it's really about this family. And I like the family all right.
Sure. Dad was an asshole. But.
There's a bit of the town stuff. Like, you get the sheriff, who's also in this one, and the sheriff, the lady who's like the dispatcher. And then there's like the bar scene where there's like a bar fight or whatever. But this movie, I think, does a better job of having a cast of kooky townies, right?
Right.
Like, you get the teenage kid who's selling the eggs, or the eggs. Yeah, he finds critter eggs, which look unique, and he sells them for a, you know, 24 pack of beer and a stack of Playboys. And that character is really funny to me. He's interesting. Like, he's cliche,
yeah,
but he fits in the town, you know? And then you have the guy from, is he not from Revenge of the Nerds, maybe, but
which one?
The guy who worked at the Hungry Heifer, who turns into briefly. Yeah, yeah. Really, you know who he is. He was in 1941 for anyone who wants to watch a big piece of shit. But he's in it, and that's about it. The guy, so the love interest, her dad looks familiar. I've seen him in things.
Yeah.
But it just, this movie has more townies that I really like that they put effort into. Yeah. Like even the priest who runs the church, he makes a joke in his Easter Sunday sermon, and he looks so smug and pleased with himself about it, and it just works for me.
Yeah, he says, you know, good to see everybody here on this Easter Sunday, and I'm glad.
You've resurrected your church going, you know, and he gets a little laugh from the congregation. He goes,
right. Yeah, no, it's very, it was actually like, I could see I'm assuming it's a Baptist church, right?
Well, they called him Father. So I would maybe point to maybe like Anglican or
Episcopal, maybe.
Episcopal.
Yeah, but he wasn't wearing robes. He was wearing a suit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways.
It could be just the hodgepodge. Like, they didn't, like, the guy who came up with that scene didn't go to any particular denomination.
Right, he's like, this is what churches do.
This is what church is.
being a direct, essentially a direct continuation of the first
2 years after the original story.
But, And it takes the son from the first film, and he's 2 years older, and you know, he comes back. I don't know where they moved to or what.
He said Kansas City.
Oh, that's right.
And they never established whether that's Missouri or Kansas.
Right, right. Because who thought it was a good idea to name two places?
I don't know. Isn't it like it's Kansas City, but it's on the state line?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's kind of dumb.
It is kind of.
If you're in Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas, let us know. And let us know why they did that, because that's fucking dumb.
We're not going to Google it.
I'm not. I can't right now. I don't have
the
ability.
We literally can't. I don't know what I'm going to do when I have to draft my movies.
I wrote them down on this card.
We'll see what happens.
We're going to see how we hit the theme this month. So what do you think of the creature design here?
I love them. I love that they turn into balls and roll around. I love that they have spikes on their back that they can, you know, pull out and shoot darts, and that the darts aren't lethal, but they just kind of make you woozy for a while. Right. I love that they have so many teeth and the big red eyes. Like, there's something scary, but there's also something. Like, you could see that thing could have been cute, maybe, but it's so ugly. They've nailed this, like, aesthetic that is funny looking and gross and adorable. Adorable is a strong word.
Oh, it's a very strong word.
Yeah, but there's something like when the one gets its hair blown off and that one's kind of cool. I would have, if I could find one, and I've never actually looked, a critter. Like, just a stuffed critter and just keep it in my house somewhere. They don't look like gremlins. They act like gremlins. Yeah. They're goofy, and they're especially like, there's a scene in this movie where they're destroying the phone lines and they're giggling and laughing like gremlins do. So I get why someone would be like, it's just a ripoff of the gremlins. But I like their design a lot. Did you have an objection to it?
No, I didn't have an objection to it. You know, so when you talk about practical effects, right? And there's some CG in this film.
Would you call it CG?
No, I'd call it manipulating the camera.
There's some very strong green screen, but I will say all the critters, the green screen's for some other effect, but all the critters are puppets, and they look awesome.
Well, I mean,
to me,
at certain times you can quite obviously tell
that someone's in there.
Somebody's doing this with them. But I think that's part of the. And I think the word you're looking for is charm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's certain charm to these creatures, even though they're menacing, and they're diabolical. But they're flesh eating creatures.
And they are, they respond instinctively. Yeah. Like, they're not assholes to be assholes. They just want to eat things. Although they threw that one guy in a bunny suit through a window and never finished eating him. Yeah, like, we don't get to see that on screen. And again, it's what I like that. I like that I've seen this movie a bunch of times, and I'm just now realizing, how did they throw that guy through the window? They have the tiniest arms.
Yeah.
And they're literally a foot tall, the big one. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
well, like in the first movie, I'm wondering, how did they get up this fucking stairs? You know? Like at the house. How'd they get up the stairs? I don't know.
They're gremlins. They can like bounce though, like balls. Like you see them in both films. Like they're in ball form, but they're able to jump and they jump into the window of the truck and they bounce off of things.
Whoever was behind the camera throwing those. Because they're just bouncing like fucking basketballs. And it's the most hilarious thing to me. Is because, you know, it's meant to be a tense scene in the film, and these things are like being thrown as projectiles by somebody,
yeah,
and bouncing off the truck or whatever they're in. But I do like the design of the creature. I think the film kind of so in the beginning of this one we get an alien. That's talking to the bounty hunters, says, hey, these Krites, which is what they're called, they're still on Earth. You got to go back because you didn't kill them.
I love that alien. Like,
yeah, no,
it's briefly on screen, but it is a full, but it, really cool looking puppet.
I don't even know if it's a puppet.
Or a guy in prosthetics.
Yeah, a guy in prosthetics. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, he's decked head to toe. I mean, they had to have spent some money on the prosthetics for that guy. And he's meant to be like a on screen.
Like they could have done a heads up one and blurted out a bit, but they went a little above and beyond.
Yeah. So, what do you think the budget for this film was?
So it'd be 88 money. I'd say $2 million.
You think?
Do you think they spent less or more?
Probably a little bit more. I think $5 million.
Okay. I don't know because of inflation and all that, but I feel like, and again, we can't look this shit up.
We're just talking.
That if that's the case, I think you get a lot for your money.
I do too.
I think you get a lot of really awesome, because a lot of the puppets are on screen at the same time. So they're not reusing the same one and being like, here's another one. It's... There's 10 to 20 on screen at a time, you know, and you get all of that. You get all the gore. There's the giant ball of critters at the end of the film, and then they roll over this guy, and you have this bloody, gross skeleton. They made that, you know, and it all looks great to me. Like, all of the horror special effects are pretty cool. Like, the guy gets the end of his foot bit off, and it just kind of shows you kind of the power of their jaws, you know. It's like you're biting through a shoe and a foot. So
I think as far as the budget goes, I did enjoy the you can tell that they went to actual places to shoot this film.
Mm-hmm. Grover's Bend,
because there's a couple shots or a couple scenes where they're the bounty hunters are looking for the critters. And they go to this one location, and there's a tractor on the side of a building, and one of the tractor's tires is flat.
Yeah,
you know, it's been sitting there for a while. I just thought that's a tractor that was somebody's tractor, actual tractor.
So we were talking about the budget, but the fact that they came to this town and filmed it in Grover's Bend. And boy, watch this not even be a real thing. And we're just talking out of our asses because
we
don't have the power
of
Google right now. That
imagine what they used to do in 1980.
They were like, hey, cool, a movie's going to be filmed here.
Yeah.
Can they come to my property and, do a scene here or there?
I think that's part of the charm to me of a film like this is that there's just certain little things that make it stand out to me.
Yeah.
And you know, it's because the acting sucks. And the best character to me in this entire movie is Harv, the sheriff.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
He didn't get the memo that this was like, he was like, he's going to act. But I mean, I guess he did get the memo because he is that quintessential good old boy kind of attitude. And he is funny. Like when that lady comes to the door and it's like, the critters are back. And he's like, why don't you get out of here? Because they're about to start the bonus round.
He is watching like, some game show.
Yeah. He delivers all of his lines full force. Like he knows that he needs to, you know, sort of be a meme before the age of memes.
Right.
And he is great.
Well, I think, you know, and so his progression through the movie, I thought was probably the best of all the characters is that, you know, we see him from the first. He's not the sheriff anymore. He's kind of down on his luck. And then the son,
Bradley Brown
and his trying to be girlfriend come to him. They're like, hey, sheriff, we need you. The new sheriff just got murdered. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. And they're like, why won't you help? And he goes, because the town voted me out by a landslide. And he spits.
And they can kiss my ass.
But he does this like, kiss my ass.
And I'm doing what any logical person in Grover's Bend would do. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Right. And he drives away in this beat up ass Cadillac or something.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the movie, when everybody needs somebody to step up, this guy, and it looks bad for old Bradley Brown and
this young, little girl that he's protecting.
Here comes, you know, dual wielding sheriff. And he kills all the critters.
Doesn't miss a one.
Nope.
Bang, 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 bang. He gets 100% use out of his bullets.
And he delivers the best line in the entire movie. And just, I'm back.
Yeah. Do you think he's referencing
I don't know.
The Terminator? I think there's a bit of a... I don't know that you can do that at that point and not reference Terminator.
But like, so, you know... Terminator 2
was after this.
Right.
But Terminator 1 was already out, I think. Again.
And he said, I'm back in Terminator 1?
In Terminator 1, he says, I'll be back.
Oh, he does say, I'll be back. I don't know.
He says, I'm back in like the third one, which is ass. But...
No, I just think...
Critters and Terminator have a lot in common. They're a two-film franchise. There's two good films... And then you could just skip the rest.
But unlike Terminator, I'm not going to go see any more of these films.
I don't blame you. I am so I've seen the four core films. There's four of them, all of which star, what's the guy's name? Brad's friend who was in space with a gap in his teeth.
Charlie.
Look at him. He loves these movies. They all star Charlie. But they are not good. So the third one takes place in an apartment building. And it's okay. It's okay. It's Critters, at least. It's not as fun as this one.
Yeah.
And then four, they go to space, which kind of makes sense because they're aliens. And, you know, but they go deep into the future. But Og is bad in the future. I don't like it. Like Og is a good guy throughout the whole series, and then in the end he's a bad guy all of a sudden.
That's a franchise that's run out of ideas.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it sucked. Like,
so I will say that I didn't hate this film.
No, you didn't. I know that.
Right. I didn't hate it. And I did enjoy this one probably more than the first one.
As I expected.
Because it's more open, right? We have more things to do. We have more characters, but these characters actually get their own things to do. And we get some emotion out of the robot characters. Og and
They're aliens, but yes.
Yeah, right, but they're very wooden.
And Lee.
You know, Lee dies in this movie.
Sad. It is really rough to sit through.
and Og lets out an audible, you know, a guttural scream. And then after that, he doesn't transform into anything. He goes back to
he's basically looks like a putty ball.
Right. And his natural appearance. And then by the end of the film, you know, which I thought was cool. I thought it was cool, and I didn't know that they could do this, but, you know, he transforms into a critter to help lead him.
Did you see that coming when the big-ass critter?
No, I didn't. But, like, so it goes back to the rules of the movie, right? They had never shown that they could transform into animals, right? And up to that point, they had only done humans. And so I was like, well, it didn't violate its own rules, so I guess it's all right.
Yeah, and he was bigger, right? He didn't change mass.
Right.
He just changed shape, made himself short, stocky, and he looks awesome. Like, that's my favorite critter, was the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also the one that gets deep fried. That was gross. Like, you just see him pop up as the puppet, and it's a furless one, and it's all pink and burnt and nasty.
And that's part of, you know, that whole burger joint, the Hungry Heifer.
What's it called? That's right. Yeah. It's the Hungry Heifer.
I thought that was the whole scene was great. It's because they're all, we have to bring up that in 1998, you could go to the buffet for $2.79.
It was 1988, and it was $2.79 to get the salad bar, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy.
But did you like when they go into the Hungry Heifer, the door goes, murr. Like, that place felt, I wanted to eat there.
That place, it's probably a real place.
Because the Hungry Heifer is a burger joint, and there's a burger factory in town, so that shit's fresh. And I just, and that's like the town's Sunday. At the end of the movie, we find out that they're open on Easter Sunday, so you can bring the family down. And I'm like, I could see that place just being slammed.
Well,
on a Sunday, Easter Sunday, everybody's eating at the Hungry Heifer.
That's not that big.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is slammed.
Right. I mean, you saw the church. There's people standing up in the back.
Yeah. That's Easter, though.
So let me ask you. Okay, I think we've probably talked about it as much as we can, because it's also draft night, so we got a draft.
Right. I think
so. Are
it's going to be tough to draft without my phone?
Are you going to recommend Critters 2?
Critters 2. Yeah. I like it too much to not do it. I understand.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And if I were a reasonable person, I wouldn't. I wouldn't give it the stamp that we try to protect and have it mean something. But I fucking love Critters 2, man. And watching it again today with Mark, I was just enjoying myself, loving it. And Mark not hating it was enough for me.
we have to get it out there into the universe is that we paid actual money for this
Mark,
film.
I was going to pay him back. But then I decided to be cheap. He tried to find it on legitimate means, and legitimate means is bullshit. Just pay the $3, get yourself some Hungry Heifer, and enjoy your day.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't regret paying for it.
You don't regret spending $3.
I don't regret spending $3. It's because, like I said, it's not as terrible as I thought it was going to be. Especially for an 80s film, you know, there's a shit ton.
Here he goes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Yeah,
oh God.
There's a shit ton of bad 80s films.
That's a shit ton of modern.
Yeah. No. Right. Films. Right. But see, like, the 80s for some reason gets this like nostalgia bump from everybody.
So let me ask you this. Would you rather watch a shitty movie from the 80s or a shitty movie from the modern era? I know my answer.
I'm probably going to pick the modern because it looks better on my TV.
The thing about shitty movies from the 80s, you're going to get stuff that's hilarious. Like the whole thing, like the one special effect that really just doesn't work is when there's two Charlies and they walk around each other and it looks like shit.
Yeah, it's garbage.
I find that way more entertaining in a bad film.
Yeah.
Than it's because my problem with a modern bad film is that's a Sils Maria, that's a fountain. A bad film from the 80s is what? I mean, what's some of the ones I made you watch that you hated? Oh, Ravenous. That was 90s,
that was
though.
90.
I can't even think of a bad 80s film I made you watch.
No, the prom night.
Oh, prom night. That was 70.
That was 70s.
No, it wasn't. It was 1980, I think.
All right. Classifies as a 80s.
But film. Even that movie, and it's the worst 80s movie, according to you, that we've watched, is better than Sils Maria and better than The Fountain.
Yes.
It's better than the ass fudge that comes out of the modern. Like, the modern bad movies are so much worse because they're boring and nothing happens.
And I think, to piggyback off of that, I think modern bad movies are easier to make simply because you have these mega corporations like Netflix, Amazon, Disney, that have in-house directors, like the director of this film. One time he was an in-house director for some studio. But today, a studio will just throw money. They'll just be like, hey, $25 million. That's your budget. Go make some shit that'll entertain somebody. And
Critters 5.
and it'll get made, and it'll get dumped right onto the streaming service, right? And it'll live there, and it'll collect, a couple hundred thousand, views in its lifetime, and it'll just be written off. But it's always accessible if you have that subscription service, right?
Sure.
A film like Critters or Critters 2 or even 3 or 4. Some studio.
I think one of the Critters sequels, the more modern sequels, was actually made. And again, I'm talking out of my ass. Mark's talking out of his. Smells like shit in here. Is that I think Shudder made one, which is a horror movie streaming service,
right,
made one of those Critter films just for their platform.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand. I understand how in the 80s and early 90s, film studios had to spend legitimate money hoping that they would get a return on that investment because there were no streaming services. They were hoping that you'd walk by in October in the Blockbuster and go, bam, I'm going to watch me some Critters 3.
I don't think they get that many residuals from Blockbuster. Like, they get the sale of the tape. I don't know. Right. I don't work in the industry.
Anyways, I don't recommend this film.
Oh, God.
I'm never going to watch it again, but I'm glad that I watched it. Honestly, I'm glad that I watched it.
It's fun. You had a good time.
Right. It was fine. It's not the most campy. When I think of campy horror, honestly, I think of like the Leprechaun movies, right?
Those are good.
They are good.
Those are good.
But they're extremely campy. Yeah. Chucky.
I love films. Chucky movies.
This creature design also fits into that Leprechaun type design, even though that was an actual person.
Yeah, that was Warwick Davis.
Yeah. But the design, like his prosthetics and all that. Yeah. It a lot of similarities between the design and the prosthetics and all that. And so that's what this film made me think of. I'm not upset that we watched it.
So we're just going to watch all the Leprechaun films in March for St. Paddy's Day.
We could. Leprechaun in Space.
They do. Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah, Leprechaun in the Hood. Yeah, that's a good one.
Is it?
I mean, it's it's been a while since
it's a movie title that makes me go, I got to watch that.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
Again, my point between the difference between bad old films and bad modern ones. Bad modern horror, are there any good ones? Name one. You can't. Old bad horror movies? Leprechaun. You got some bad Jason movies. You got all that shit's good compared to the crap today.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah, I'd rather watch an older bad movie.
And you're not wrong.
I know that.
I think horror today is more about gore, right?
You get your elevated horror stuff and it's about allegory and
right,
shit.
Right, right, right. I mean, we watched some of those. Babadook.
I like the Babadook.
No, it's a good movie. Yeah. But I mean, it's a more a heady movie, right?
Yeah.
Makes you think about what you're watching instead of like a Scream.
God. I love Scream.
Hey, we just watched me and my new kid. One? No, we just watched all of them.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah. No, we watched them like all back to back, like on each night. We spent a week watching Scream movies.
great way to spend the week, in my opinion. I love those movies.
I mean, like,
even three.
Three and four weren't great.
Whoa.
Which four? Which one was four?
Four, I like. That's the, is that the first reboot. Where
that's the first Jenna Ortega one?
No, that's five.
So five and six are the Jenna Ortega ones.
Yeah, five and six are Jenna. Four was kind of like a one-off almost. It
Hayden
was,
Panettiere. And,
that's four.
Ah, see, I didn't like that one.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, three's balls. But no, I mean, those films are just kind of your just mind, like, you know, hey, you know, Ghostface Killer.
I love Scream.
But anyways.
Make another one, which they are.
Right. That'll be a franchise that never dies.
Good.
Like the Ghostface Killer. Anyways, I don't recommend this. You do. Cool.
You know whose opinion matches your own at this point. That's all I got to say.
All right.
It's draft night.
It's draft night, bitches. And I'm gonna grab my card.
Yeah, I don't.
You're going to go off the dome.
Okay, so we got to say November is a five-week month.
Yep.
And we've picked our fifth film. And yep. When I tell you the theme, you're going to be able to guess pretty much immediately what our secret fifth film is. We're doing movies based on or featuring toys.
Toys, right.
Think Toy Story. None of those toys are actually in stores. That's fine. And then based on toys, like even though the G.I. Joe movie doesn't actually have any toys in it.
Right. It's based off
it would count.
Right.
Now, where I get a little... One of my films, and I'm going to pitch it to you right now and see how you feel about this. What about a movie that's based on a cartoon that had a toy line?
The cartoon had a toy line.
Yeah.
And you're considering a film based off the cartoon.
That also had a toy line.
I mean, at this point, you're going to pick what you're going to pick.
Yeah. I might as well just pull a mark in Western month and just...
I mean, we're talking modern cowboys. Let's go.
You... pick two non-horror movies this month. I feel like maybe I get no, some sort of token.
I picked creature features. There was no horror. There was no...
It's October.
Okay,
it's
right.
Unspoken.
You wrote your own rules. I'm just
rules
saying,
that most people would agree with.
Anyways, it was a good month. I enjoyed the month.
I think we had some fun.
anyways,
what was the worst movie this month?
All right, we had...
Lamb Thing... what was the
first? Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
And then Critters 2. I'm probably going to go Shape of Water.
I am going to agree.
Yeah.
That Oscar darling can suck our butts. Critters 2 is better than Shape of Water. You heard it from both of us.
The rules of the draft house do apply. Anyways, are you going to pick first or am I going to pick first? I'll let you pick first.
You want me to pick first?
I do want you to pick first. I want to see how bad this month's going to go.
It's going to go bad. I'm trying to remember my third film. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to start.
Are you going to say the year? Because we don't know.
I don't know the year, but okay. I'm going to tell you who's in it.
All right.
It's starring Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
Friend of the pod.
I'm already on board.
I don't know who else is in this fucking movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, are you picking Real Steel?
Real Steel.
Let's go. All
based right. on Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Let's all right? go.
It's. I saw it. I'm like, I've never watched it. Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, anything with Hugh Jackman, bro. I'm it. All right, that's good. That's fine. I love it. I love the pick.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, time for me to get prepared. I'm going to knock this back and pretend it's alcoholic.
I am going to pick, arguably, it's a long-running franchise at this point.
Ooh, Chucky. We're going to watch fucking Child's Play.
We could, but no. But I'm gonna pick the first film in the franchise, unlike you.
yeah, that's fair.
But I also think that this film is the best of the franchise. We're gonna watch the first Transformers film
of the Bay Transformers.
Of the Bay Transformers.
I haven't watched. Okay, I have seen it.
Yeah,
and I've watched the second Transformers, and I haven't watched any since because the second one was just chaos. But the first one I saw in theaters, and remember being like,
it wasn't bad.
That was fun.
Right.
I had a good time.
Right.
Plus your boy Shia LaBeouf is in it,
right.
being an asshole.
I think he's really good in that film.
Well, we're going to watch the first Transformers, and you did mention before we started recording low-hanging fruit. So
now,
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to get you ready for it just so you can mentally prepare. But my second film, it defies all odds, right? It all stereotypes, okay. All logic. It defies it all.
So I'm going to tell you the movie I was talking about that's based on a cartoon with the Twilight, because I'm not going to pick it.
Okay.
Just in the interest of keeping with the theme. I wanted to pick a movie based on He-Man.
Okay.
I was going to pick the Dolph Lundgren film, Masters of the Universe, with Skeletor. Thank you. I really wanted to make you watch that. I know, and I see you over there breathing a sigh of relief.
Yes, I did.
Fuck that. We're going to watch a horror movie from, I think, the late 80s, possibly early 90s. I've seen one of these. Now, I'm picking the first one.
Okay.
It is a long-running series. I've seen one of them, and I don't remember which one because I was really young, but it was around the same time I was like into critters. We're going to watch a film called Puppet Master.
I've never seen it.
It's a guy who has killer puppets.
I've never seen it. And that's one that kind of lives in the pantheon of 80s horror, right?
Right. I know about Puppet Master, and again, it has.
So you've never seen it either?
I've seen a Puppet Master film, but I do not know which one. And I saw it on TV. I remember
that's amazing.
Almost nothing. But I saw it on, I think it was like on TV one day on the summer, and I just watched midway through and finished it and was like, all right.
Huh.
It's a slasher movie with puppets.
Interesting.
So
our theme, our genres of film in this theme are all over the place.
Right. So what was my first pick? Because this is going to be the problem.
Real Steel.
Real Steel, which is an action flick.
Action flick.
Action flick is what you picked. Right. Transformers. And now horror.
And now horror.
So what the fuck are you going to do to me now?
We're going
to
pick a Christmas movie.
I guess it's November.
And it's going to be after Thanksgiving.
Is it?
I think so. I think, no, the episode that this
will be Thanksgiving Day?
Will be Thanksgiving Day.
Perfect. I'm on board now. A toy. Hold on. Let me. It's not toys, is it?
No, it's not toys.
All right. A toy movie. That's a Christmas movie. Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way. Let's fucking go. It's actually one of my favorite Christmas
movies. You and my buddy Jason, people who love Jingle All the Way, fucking love Jingle All the Way. Like, it is their shit. They put it on every year. And
I'm guilty.
I saw
it. It's a staple in this house.
I want to say 2 years ago on Christmas, because my buddy Jason, I was watching Christmas movies near December. And again, JC's like, you got to watch Jingle All the Way. I watch it every year. I'm like, fine, I'll watch it.
And you had never seen it?
Never seen it.
Oh, God.
I've seen it now. It's got Jake Lloyd and it's got my man, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as long as it was Sinbad. So I think that it is appropriate.
I
really like the timing of it, too.
I did not plan that, by the way.
Jingle All the Way, which is, if you've ever watched any Conan O'Brien from the era, they'd always have Arnold come on, but it'd be his picture with his mouth. And he's like, you need to go see my film, Jingle All the Way. So
that's a good impersonation.
Thank you.
Anyways. All right. Week five.
Movies based on toys. Everybody out there, say it with me now. We're fucking watching Barbie. All right, we're going to watch Barbie.
Barbie.
With Baby Goose.
Baby Goose. Ryan Gosling. And Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. I could not pull it. And a host of others. Issa Rae. Who's the guy that's in Shang-Chi? Isn't he in this?
He is.
I can't think of his name. There's like a bunch of cameos.
America Ferrera. Is in it.
Yeah, it's like a ton of cameos.
Yeah. She plays a major role in it, but
And so I've not Shang-Chi. Seen it. Mark has. So
yeah, I went and saw it in theaters with my family. It's a really good fucking film. I'm glad we're watching it. Because I want to watch it again. And we're probably so this is going to be our third Oscar winner that we
watch this year.
Watch this year.
So what did we watch this year? Shape of Water.
What was the other one? I distinctly remember we watched another Oscar.
Was that? But it wasn't. Was that Power of the Dog?
No, that was like 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, I'm talking about this year.
I'd look on my phone, right? But it stopped recording.
Don't do it. Anyways, I mean, Barbie's likely going to be Best Picture winner at the Academy.
You think so?
Yeah. it made a shit ton of money, and it's actually a really good film. So
yeah.
I don't see any way that it doesn't. But anyways, so let's run them down.
All right.
Real Steel.
Real Steel.
All right. Transformers 1.
Transformers 1.
All right. Puppet Master 1.
Fuck yeah. I don't even know. It could be the worst thing I've ever picked.
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way.
And Barbie.
Barbie. I like it. I think it's a good slate of films. I was a little worried that it was going to be too heavy on the Jingle All the Way side, whereas like everything was kind of this lighthearted,
right.
You know, toy. I wanted to have like a night, and I think we have a nice breadth of films.
Sure. And neither one of us picked the low-hanging fruit. Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers are toys. Well, to me, are the lowest hanging fruit. It's like the movie's called Toys.
Right.
Or like G.I. Joe, which I don't want to watch those. Because as much as I like Channing Tatum now, back then, he's garbage.
He's
horrible in that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway. That's our November toy month.
Anyways, once again, we'll give a shout out to the music this month. The band Fluorescence, they're a pop punk band. Doing big things out of Chicago, Illinois with their song Roll the Dice. We appreciate them. Allow us to use their music here on the podcast. Next month, we'll have new music. So be sure to catch next week's episode where we reveal that.
Mm.
If you want to follow the podcast, we're on all your favorite social media platforms. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, here on YouTube where you're watching us, probably, maybe.
Possibly.
And be sure to hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content. Yeah,
from what I've seen, we get like 50-50. It seems like we get a similar number of listens on the podcast feed as we do on YouTube. Yeah. So
no, I mean, it is we're getting steady subscribers. So it seems like, you know, once a week we're getting a handful of new subscribers, and that's good. We're trying to, you know, establish ourselves here in the
who else has a damn Raji and help me out.
Beam. Nobody.
Poster.
Nobody.
No one does.
Nobody does.
We do.
Yeah, we do. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and let him know, hey man, it's okay to like elevated horror. You know, A24 makes a lot of them.
Oh, A24 makes a lot of horse shit. However, I was bagging on him a bit, but I didn't hate Lamb. I actually think I was like, you know what? There's a lot of good here. I like The Lobster, but I realized I was looking through and there's some films I do like. I liked X. Their new one, Pearl, is really good.
Yeah.
I think it's better than X. And then they've got the Iron Claw coming out. Yeah. Wrestling Corner Month finally coming your way at some point because we're doing that damn movie and it's going to be awesome.
We can do it. I think it comes out in December. I don't know what our theme is for December.
Well, I know my buddy who's my wrestling buddy, who I watch wrestling with, he's like, we got to go see it. I'm like, fuck yeah, we do. I can't wait to watch the Iron Claw. I think it comes out
on Christmas Day.
I don't know if I'm going to make that happen.
Right. But. Neither will I.
Yeah.
But I think it does come on Christmas. Anyways.
I think maybe we aim for January.
Bro, I'll be a third wheel. Let's go. Anyways.
I'm looking forward to it. So not all A24. And The Wrestler is a movie I've said before I really like. I think The Iron Claw is going to be better than The Wrestler, though, because it's real life. And The Wrestler was just there to depress you. And it's Aronofsky. And I don't really like him.
We don't like Aronofsky here on the podcast. Anyways, you can find Jeff on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff.
If you want to get in touch with Mark and tell him what toys that he can buy as an adult.
Whoa.
And send him the websites to get them.
Link me up, bitches.
You can link him up at I Heard You Liked on Twitter.
Jeff, you got any words of wisdom?
You can also check out my other podcast called Chronologically, where we're in the midst, nearing the end of our season on M. Night Shyamalan. But words of wisdom. Bitchin'. I actually got one this week. That's what the guy says, the little gremlin man. We'll see you next week. You and I fall on opposite sides. Now we're all-